And just a couple of small details, if you can just tell us about when you were involved in writing the reviews for the Concordia Club and for the Symphony,
all right,
the women's organization.
When I got out of college, I guess I started doing the Concordia Club reviews immediately, and that was in 1950, early 50s. And I was sort of also trying to hone my skills at writing review material for the stage. Got into doing the symphony reviews in the late 50s, and then I started to peddle my wares along with the wares of some collaborators of mine to the Pittsburgh Playhouse. And in 1960, Fred Burley, the then director of the Playhouse, bought some material that we expanded into a full-scale musical review. My collaborators and I, a woman with whom I grew up in Pittsburgh named June Reisner, and a young British journalist who was working for the press, Mike Holmberg, we wrote a review called Open Season, which was open season on all manner of institutions, Pittsburgh and national. And subsequently then tried to peddle material from that review in New York. I didn't wind up selling anything of mine. June wound up selling a few of her things to Julius Monk, the impresario who held forth at the Plaza. But those were the theater years.
When you worked for Milt Sussman, what was the name of his?
Sussman and Associates.
And Lando was?
Lando Inc.
Very, very complicated. Mm-hmm. And one more little question just on the past. You talked about the award that your husband received because of the work he did for the Cobra School.
Oh.
What is the Cobra School?
I should say that the work he did on behalf of Danish painters, many of whom, the contemporary Danish painters, were members, or several of whom were members of what is called the Cobra School of Painting, which comprised a group of painters from Copenhagen, Brussels, and Amsterdam, hence Cobra. It was an acronym for a bunch of young painters of like mind, and they developed a style. And Leon happened to like the work they were doing, and the Danish, and since there were some Danes among them, the Danes were delighted with the...
What was the style? What should I look for? And who?
It involves elements of fantasy and very free form. Elements of, I wouldn't call it surrealistic, but it's abstract expressionist to a degree with elements of realism and elements of fantasy, and I'm not describing it very well. You gotta see it.
Yeah, well, fine. At least I know what to look for. Can you give me some names of artists to look for?
Oh, yes. Peterson, Carl Henning Peterson, Peder Sen. Pierre Alashinsky, Amsterdam. Before I leave, one of the most prominent was Oscar Jorn, J-O-R-N. Those were, I think, the most prominent.
That titillated me when I went through.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, was there anything else that...
Is there anything else in which you have had an influence or have been active in any area that we have not yet covered that you'd like to talk about?
Well, I don't know whether... Did we talk about... You asked me about politics, and I got into politics as part of my career, and then I got into the advancement of cultural causes through my career, but I don't know whether I talked about my jobs.
No.
So I started out working for Milton Sussman after I lost my first job, which I told you about, and And I think I told you that I was with Milton a very short time and had an opportunity to go with Bob Lando. And that was really a major decision to the good, because Bob's was a young and growing firm with a lot of energy behind it, and I had the opportunity to play a role as a virtually a founder and principal as I got in close to the beginning. And I was able, because of Bob's largesse and refusal to admit to gender barriers, I was taken along to boardrooms and at least to communicate on a president to president level with when Bob communicated president to president. I was often with him or other of our senior managers, of which there was one other. And
that was?
And I became, his name was Joe Gusky, G-U-S-K-Y. And so I had the opportunity to learn quickly and to make some independent judgments and try my wings with great encouragement. And as a result of which, and I said, I became a principal, in later years a part owner when Bob opened up ownership to the principals. And I think I was one of the few women in Pittsburgh communications who was occupying a top executive job in the agency business. Bob's business grew and prospered. We won multiple awards in our field and managed to gain some notice regionally and even nationally, which was very satisfying.
What kind of work? What did you do?
I was in charge of the... I started as a copywriter at a time when television was just coming into the city. Had to quickly learn how to write for broadcast, and subsequently had to produce advertising for broadcast, so I became a copywriter producer. And after that, I became the creative director of the agency and remained the creative director with some other appendages to my title, vice president and then senior vice president of Lando, Inc. Then in later years, as we grew and prospered and got noticed, an international agency named Marsteller, who had an eye on us, decided that they wanted to strengthen their Pittsburgh base where they had an agency, and negotiated to buy Lando, which was, it was a happy and sad occasion, because we lost some of our independence. We became part of a great corporate entity, and lost some of the marvelous entrepreneurial spirit, I think, as an agency that we had had growing up. And what came with that, of course, was a nice profit that came from selling the firm. I was grateful to have enjoyed some ownership, not great ownership, but some ownership. And I think as a woman, I was in a rare position at the time. The Marsteller organization decided to keep the principles of the Lando organization in place as the principles of the merged entity, which created some problems for us, as I had to take on a staff of people who were, of course, resentful. Oh, can I get you some, would you like some water?
No, I'm fine. I think.
Well, be sure.
You picked up the staff of the Marsteller organization.
Of the Marsteller organization. I became head of their creative department and had to fight pretty hard to win over the people who were assigned to me. as mergers happen. It certainly wasn't a natural situation, and I found it a little traumatic, difficult for a few years. But things quieted down and resolved themselves, and I remained the creative director of the combined entity. And then subsequently, without going into a lot of boring detail, the Marsteller advertising office here was combined with the Burson Marsteller PR agency. Marsteller's name changed in the interim from Marsteller to HCM, and that's too long a story and it's not very interesting. But anyway, HCM became merged with Burson Marsteller to create a PR and advertising capability, and that's where I am now as a senior creative consultant. Now I guess I'm sort of a gray eminence, but nobody but her hairdresser knows for sure.
I'm darker today than I was last time you saw me.
I thought so.
It's darker than it should be.
I probably am too. So a lot, but along the way, it's been
A little bit more specific for us. The accounts that you worked on are the that were most satisfying, most interesting. You know, it's general. It's above it, but I don't. You know, it's what, for example.
Trying to say, what do you do?
Yeah.
I write and supervise writers, art directors, and broadcast producers, who are all part of what comprises an advertising agency creative department. Accounts I've worked on that have been the most satisfying. Well, believe it or not, a succession of breweries.
Pennsylvania. That's unnatural.
We handle Erie Brewing Company, who brewed a beer called Kohler. And we were able to put on the map in markets beyond Erie, its hometown, and win a number of national awards for, including some of the top awards in our business, competing against national advertisers. Subsequently, and I was very much involved in the Erie Brewing Company business, as I was subsequently in Duquesne Brewing Company business, and again we had a rewarding time doing good work for them until they were bought by a bucket shop manager and who milked the company dry and subsequently sold it. Then our most recent opportunity was to invent a brand called Icy Light, which has made brewing history. And we
invented it?
It was Iron City Light when they came to us, and the brand was dying. It had hardly been born, and it was dying. They were simply making no inroads with it, and they were the agency that handled it, the agency in New York, had made a number of, we felt, bad creative and marketing strategy decisions, and we advised taking Iron City out of Light, and since we were appealing to a new, young, non-traditional beer drinking audience who were very much peer influenced and liked to be part of what was trendy and in, we changed the name of the, we took Iron City and made it IC Light, which suddenly gave it a whole new feeling, and we put the beer in an entirely different setting that was young and alive and showed it being consumed in contemporary Pittsburgh watering places that were frequented by young people. And since at the time everybody wanted to be young and think young, because the youth cult was part of a psyche of the nation, we found that not only were the young people drinking up Icy Light by the caseload, but older people who wanted to think of themselves as young were buying Icy Light, and suddenly it became everybody's brew, and which sent us off into some expanded directions, but it became a national marketing coup and was very highly publicized. As it happens to all in our business, after 7 or 8 years of handling the account, the brewery acquired new management, and the new management was very close to some people in another agency, and ultimately we lost the account, but we were very proud of our work all the way.
Mm. You gave birth to it.
We gave birth to it.
Great.
So breweries were prominent. I've been very active also with Union National Bank over the years, being very involved as probably the most involved person in the agency on the creative side of the bank, communications activity. I have worked on a lot of what we call business-to-business accounts or industrial accounts. A lot of work for U.S. Steel, some work for National Steel, L.B. Foster Company, a lot of work for retail chains, the thrift chain of drugstores, whom we positioned as the our experts, as the dominant drug chain in the prescription and healthcare business. We work for in the health area. We're getting more involved all the time. We work for the Rehabilitation Institute of Pittsburgh as their marketing communications agency, and have gotten very active in their picture. I have been exceedingly active, probably more than is economically good for us, in pro bono work that the agency has done for the United Way, for the Carnegie Institute, for from time to time over the years for Montefiore Hospital, and various and sundry city theater, various and sundry nonprofit organizations.
Where will
Goodwill.
I find them next year? Will they be in the same place next year?
Well, next year we will be.
Yeah.
But we're looking 2 years down the road at having another home, because it's unclear as to what the university is going to do with that old hole we're in now.
The last rumor we heard would be one of the Eastbury theaters.
Well, that's one place we're exploring, but there's also a great interest being shown on the south side.
I would like that.
And so would I. I think I would say the front runners are the south side.
And not too big, because
it would be a theater.
Yes.
Absolutely, no. We would provide for,
despite Josephine the
mouse singer. We would provide for. Let's see, we have 110 or 150 seat theater now. I think we would provide for 200, but confine it to 150 until we match. If we're going to expand, it will have to be a slow, natural evolution. We are not going to try to be what we are not. Would it be
dear to my heart?
Would it be helpful, because I have a lot of the key professional involvements and board involvements on a resume sheet?
Oh yes.
Oh yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh yes. Well, just, if you can, just attach it to the record, and it'll be there.
Okay.
That would be great.
I know that sometimes I don't remember what's going on if I don't refer to that sheet.
As the top banana of a very successful advertising agency, where are you politically?
Top banana. Not. Where am I politically now? I would say I would define myself as being politically liberal. I certainly will vote for Michael Dukakis.
You like Benson?
And I think that politically, just from what I read, it may very well be that Dukakis has made a very smart choice. But what I worry about is whether he has what's going to happen with Jesse Jackson's people, and are they going to buy into this, or has he handled Jackson in the right way? Has he alienated Jackson?
Well. I listened to the McNeil Lehrer report yesterday, and they had some top people on discussing it. And
the cultural organization was the theater. For that, what else are they talking about? What else are you involved with them? Is that the only?
Oh no, the cultural trust has a mission that goes that is threefold. One of them involves building the performance capability of the downtown building downtown as a performance center, but that involves beyond being a presenter, which the trust is through the Benenum, it also involves developing the cultural district and bringing into the cultural district the institutions and facilities that can work together in a synergistic way to create a critical mass of artists and performers and retail establishments that cater to artists and performers and galleries and residences, lofts for and studios for artists and performers. That this will become
part of the picture.
Total cultural center. Yes, that's part of the grand plan.
What input does your group have at the Three Rivers Festival?
It is an influential in the community and can bring its influence to bear on the decisions of the festival, but it doesn't have any. So it has input. It doesn't have jurisdiction over the festival.
But it does have input.
Yes.
Because this last year has been.
I agree with you.
The less said, the better.
Yes. Yes, it was very unexciting. My husband thinks that maybe. So this is a terrible thing to. to voice, perhaps, but it may have run its course.
You have it on.
Another question I would
Excuse
like.
Excuse me, do you have this on?
Yes, anyway, that's not for publication.
Yeah, that's not for another Later. Question I would like to ask is this. We have a magnificent museum. Mm-hmm. I mean, part of the cultural trend would certainly influence this in some way. Cleveland, Columbus, Ohio, Toledo, Washington. When you want to see a good show, you have to go to see it elsewhere. Why doesn't Pittsburgh bring any of these top art shows here?
Because they cost an enormous amount of money, and there are limited resources, financial resources to work with, and the museum some time ago decided that it would focus focus the bulk of its resources on the every 3 year staging of the international, at the expense of the year in year out programming, and again, perhaps not for publication right now, but although Leon's coming out on record, he's saying this in an article that he was interviewed for in the Carnegie Magazine, at the expense of the permanent collection. Because they have not had the resources, they have allocated the monies to buy relatively inexpensive contemporary pictures. But when there's been an opportunity to expand the collection and with the best available from any era, which Leon was fortunate enough to be able to buy at the time, they can't do that because the money simply isn't there, and that's why. It just costs an awful lot to co-present and insure, and I'm not so sure about the insurance, whether that is not underwritten by the initial sponsoring body, but I know that we can't afford to take on the blockbuster big shows that appear elsewhere, and also do the international. And
well, is the international worth?
Well, we don't think so. Leon fought against it in his regime.
I know he did.
And he does not think it's worth it. He thinks that a lot of money and energy is expended in something that has only...
And there is no critical acclaim.
Well, there has been some from time to time, but the point is that it has resulted in only a handful of major works that have entered the permanent collection. As far as exposing Pittsburghers to what's going on in the world, it used to be that the international performed a real service there when we were more isolated as a community, but the world has changed, and we're more tribalized, and we do travel, and we do have mass communications, and we are much more exposed to what's going on. It's much easier to be exposed to what's going on, and so expending the monies that way, he thinks, is just wrong emphasis.
I just wanted to be sure I wasn't wrong.
You talked about the three
goals and gave us one.
Oh.
Performance capabilities of downtown was the one.
The trust is a presenter, is a facilities developer, as with the Benedum Center, and it is a regional developer with the whole cultural district as its province. And with the use of public and private funds, it has been buying up parcels of land downtown for the ultimate conversion to the purposes of the cultural district. Jack Hines was the prime mover. It was his idea, mm-hmm. and he got it going, and they created this nonprofit body of trustees to oversee the development of the area.
There's nobody to really replace him, is there?
I don't think Henry Hillman's going to do it. Although he's been wonderfully, wonderfully generous, but not someone with a particular kind of vision for the community mm-hmm. that Jack Hines had. No, I don't think mm-hmm. so.
That's a lot.
Can't see him right now. Mm-hmm. Dick Scaple, so.
Is it his museum down in Richmond?
Is it what?
Was it his Scaife's museum down in Richmond?
In Richmond?
Mm-hmm. Who? One of the Mellons.
Oh, Paul Mellon.
Paul Mellon.
Yeah. He's been a great benefactor.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you view as your most significant accomplishment?
It's tough.
That is really hard to say. I haven't really thought about most significant. There are a number of things that I'm proud of having done. I guess I'm proud of having risen to an executive position in a major worldwide communications agency. I'm proud of having brought my professional skills to bear on doing, at the risk of sounding goody-two-shoes, but at the risk of not only selling beer, but doing some social good, and I am proud of that. I'm proud of not just of the brewery Clio Awards, but of the American Marketing Association Effie for Effectiveness for a United Way campaign, which went over the top in a depression year, in a recession year, I should say, some years ago, and that is the communications were considered to be significant in helping make that happen.
In retrospect,
I wish I could say I'm proud of raising a wonderful family, but my one major regret in life is that I didn't have the experience of having children. So maybe it's working with all of these other babies around town that gives me that satisfaction.
Which is important.
And I'm very, very delighted that I married Leon Arcus. And, that's been a very rewarding, enriching experience.
In retrospect, mm-hmm. is there something you would do differently? Is there anything you would like to have changed?
Oh, would like to have changed. Well, as I said, I would like to have gotten married sooner to have had some kids. But no, I've often thought, would I have gone to New York to have really taken on the greatest challenge of them all? And I've answered that for myself. The answer is no, because as much as I enjoy my professional life and as much as I get a kick out of working and working hard, I am not a workaholic, and I would like to maintain balance in my life, and perhaps in the future I would like to maintain a better balance than I've been able to achieve so far. That is to say, I'd like to spend maybe more time reading books, going back to school, being a quote, a girlfriend of my mother's, because I worry now, because as all of my generation is faced with, the pressures are tremendous. They get greater every year. There are more people to care for, including friends, because we've reached that point in life. I worry about those pressures dominating my life. We wonder where the time goes. I do worry about spending time with my mother because she's 83 years old, and I feel guilty that I'm not doing it. I want to do it, but how am I going to get the time to do it, run a job, run a home, see my husband, and be there for my friends who are all at that point in life where they're having troubles. It's been a year of personal catastrophes for some of my friends. And being a friend takes time. So being in business takes time, being a friend takes time, being a daughter takes time, being a wife takes time. And where does it all...
I think you're doing a great job.
Trying.
And, yes.
We do appreciate this.
Well,
we know it's going to be a very important addition to the archives.
You've been wonderful.
Well,
thank you very much.
I won't say that it isn't fun talking about yourself, of course. To know you better.
Thank you so very much.
You know,
much
I was thinking, if I ever retire from this business, because I love to make films and I love to document this way, I'd love to join your ranks and be an interviewer.
We will recommend you.
You sounded just like I did and felt the day I decided to retire. I thought to myself, there are things that I need to do. There isn't time to do all of them. This is the day I make a decision. How do I want to spend the rest of my life? I want to go to school. I want to get back and play the violin.